League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everybody, welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin, and this is our show. Somehow Monday, February the 3rd, 2025. Yes, hope your week is starting off great. Hope you were excited to watch the Grammys last night. Congrats to all the winners there. Jelly Roll, maybe. Not too familiar with the pop music scene, folks. So that's the award show that makes me feel most like a skeleton who's turning to sand. So we stay away in this house. Although I think Sabrina Carpenter maybe won some stuff, which is cool. I'm familiar with Sabrina Carpenter. Anyway, some other old as fuck dudes who don't know any of the winners last night. Let's bring them in. You know him, you love him. First up, let's go Knicks, Mr. Steven Sadak.
That's right. I remember when I heard about Sabrina Carpenter, is she related to the other Carpenters from the 1970s?
Oh, Karen, gone. And then the brother whose name I don't remember. Michael Clayton shirt there, dude?
I sure am, dude.
Hell yeah.
I need to let people know that the truth can be adjusted.
No shit. Oh, Speaking of someone who's no stranger to adjusting the truth, Mr. Eric Siska.
Sounds like we need instead of the Grammy Awards, the Granny Awards, right?
Ooh, yes. Hell yeah.
Right? And it's like, who's the best grandma in the country?
Dude, the Granny Awards, I think that's a category at the AVNs, if you know what I'm saying.
Is that right? Are they doing that? Are they granny shagging? Is there awards for that?
I mean, there's certainly granny shagging out there on the internet, if that's what you mean. I don't know. We'll have to conduct an interview here with granny shagging expert Chris Cabin.
It's referred to as mature. It's not really.
Oh, sure. Is that right?
Granny shagging is not really the accepted terminology, at least on this side of the pond. Of course, over on, you know, in the UK, you can use granny shagging as much as you like.
It blows my mind how well versed you guys are in all these terms and things.
Language is ever evolving. You have to keep up with it. I mean,
right.
Also, by the way, come on, everybody knows Kendrick Lamar. Shut the fuck up.
That? Who's this? What did you say, Kat? Do you say Ken from Street Fighter?
Kenny Loggins? Was that Kenny Loggins who had the diss track against Drake?
Hey, Kenny Loggins, a Grammy Award winning artist? If not, should be.
Maybe. I have no idea.
Let's try to stump you guys with some top of the box office real quick. I'm curious to see, especially there's two in here that I'm like, does anybody remember these movies? First off, this one, top of the box office this day, February the 3rd in the year 2012, excuse me. 2012. This is a little teeny movie about some boys who kind of get superpowers.
Oh, is that? Yeah, so I was Guest Chronicle as well.
That is right.
Wow.
The Seattle set, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
At least according to that poster. Here was a movie in 2022 was deemed the movie that, or one of the movies, I guess, that really started bringing people back to the box office. Real nostalgia. A trip, three generations of nostalgia of dudes playing the same character.
Is that Toop Gun?
No, it's the Spider-Man, right?
There it is.
Doctor Strange made the poster. Here's another one. I'm like, what the fuck? And there's apparently two of them. 2014, top of the box office on this day, buddy comedy that I had no interest in watching. Pop comedy, I should say.
In watching, though, huh?
I believe one guy is a cop and one guy is not a cop.
Is it Let's Be Cops?
Ooh, no, but that is a bad movie.
Cop Out. Oh, no.
Ride Along.
Ride Along. Yes.
Wow. I don't think Kevin Hart's a cop in that.
Right. He just is going to marry Ice Cube's daughter. Look at the fucking terrible poster work here. Look at Ice Cube's head on this poster.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the way his head was ever naturally positioned.
Well, now, just looking at this, if Kevin Hart stood up, he'd tower over Ice Cube, and I don't think that's a thing.
No.
Yeah, no, you're totally right.
Right, no.
They should have got more accurate body doubles. And finally, previous episode, last year celebrated its 20th anniversary. That's right, top of the box office on this day in 2004. It's one star is a TV actor that somehow has made a ton of movies.
Mm. Mm.
This is a previous episode. Oh. Fan favorite, some might say.
2004, you said?
2004 movie saw us making some jokes about child abuse.
Oh, that could be anything. Oh.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Clink, 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 clink.
Yes, and with that, hold on, I'm going to fix my camera. There's something weird going on. I'm flashing for a second.
I was
going
to say, it looks like it's the office from Joe versus the Volcano in there.
But yeah, speaking of office, the box office was in decent shape over the weekend. Fucking finally, let's take a look at that real quick. This is a segment we like to call Highest Growth. By the way, hello to folks returning in the chat. Of course, Amso Rachel, Caboose Bird, Tata Hababa, Liz G, Rose, Foolish Hooligan, Bubbles. Love that. Bubbles says they're baked.
Mm,
hell yeah, nice. Bubbles.
It is.
Good morning to you, sir.
That's good.
Hello, Busiris, of course. Love seeing our bud Busiris. Josh Wohl, Shane, Canadian Comic Pickups. That's the whole name. I don't know. Okay. All Hail the Order of Boop. Also, that's sure.
That's right.
Wow. Steve, I saw you. Steve, I saw your picture, and I got to say, we walked by it the other day, and I stopped. I took a picture, and then, like, I didn't want to, like, further poison the internet by posting it online, but this Betty Boop musical that's coming up.
I don't know, dude. It looks pretty creepy. It looks pretty uncomfortable.
Wow, get ready for the perverts to come back to Times Square finally.
Exactly.
That sounds like something that could sweep the Granny Awards.
Yes. Well, that's something where you are going to have at least one character known as the Moocher. So, of course...
Yep,
you're gonna have somebody outside pretending to do those walks.
I don't know because there's footage when you walk by it. Because we actually went to see Gypsy yesterday on Broadway, which is really great. The Otter McDonald revival, they call it. But we want
Romani, by the way.
Romani, yes,
thank you.
It's called Romani.
Thank you.
Well, that's the funny thing is like they have shirts and it's like. I don't think I want a shirt that just says Gypsy on it.
I don't want people to think I'm going to pickpocket them or anything. So no thanks.
Or travelers. But the
or curse them.
Yes, there's a big projector of like I guess the previews of the Boop musical, and you can see it happening. And they have remember how she used to be with that old guy? Apparently, the old guy is in it. The big and he's got a big old beard. He's like, come on, Betty Boop, shut my cock.
Wow! Yes,
so that guy made it to the musical. I would like to assume because I didn't see no footage or anything. Mm-hmm. I would like to assume that it's just like a woman dressed up like her and not like a big fucking head.
It's not direct. David Lynch passed before they could get the big head,
sure,
Mache thing.
Now, Betty, in this scene, you have to remember while you're singing your song, all the men in the audience want to be pulling it to you. Pulling it. I'd like to think that's what he called it.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know.
I just couldn't imagine. What is that even going to be about? It's got to be about trying to get stooped, you know?
Yeah, it's one girl's erotic journey from Milan to Minsk.
Yeah, I think she's trying to get a husband, maybe. But then again, that's not, you know, not so in these days. So I'm curious what we might be doing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, there might be a Barbie-esque twist, and she might be just trying to find her own independence.
At the end, she gets her vagina.
Mm. Well, maybe it's a thing where it's like, you know, this was like, Betty Boop was like the 1920s, like super unprogressive. Like maybe it's just, they don't want to like jump it too far in the future. It's a little bit at a time. So she's like singing a song about like, maybe I'll take a typing class. Anyway, here's what's going on at the box office this week. Chris Cabin's favorite movie of the year so far, Flight Risk. Massive drop. This is the biggest drop of the weekend.
You don't say.
52%. to let's see what the actual number yelling at.
Just like the plane, it dropped.
Wow, it's like Daddy came home for the box office and whipped that movie with a belt or something. That's
or something. Yeah, Daddy did something to that box office.
And I'm so happy that Daddy's here to make my film do terribly. Thank God for Daddy.
Mm-hmm. I love being beaten by Daddy.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, that guy's got problems.
Yeah.
A movie that does not have problems, of course, though. One of them days. This movie's got some legs, everybody. Another $6 million for a big box comedy at the box office. I like seeing that. Still have to see the movie.
Sure.
But this had the best hold of the week. It only dropped fucking 25%. You guys, this movie doing real well. And it's looking like $34 million is what it's made domestically. No foreign box office for this, but on a budget of $14 million, so well done, folks. Well done right there. Chris Cabin's other favorite movie of last year, Mufasa.
Oh yeah.
Look, yeah, baby.
Look at these beasts.
Still out there,
these beasties.
This guy now in its seventh week, it's just printing money. It has recouped everything. It's just a money factory.
I apologize for asking this probably 2 weeks in a row. Has any of us seen this yet? No,
I have.
You have?
Oh, of course you did. Now, Chris, Do the animals, do they talk with human voices?
Yes.
Or is it like voiceover?
No, they're talking.
Yeah,
that's
like,
disgusting. You can't make an animal speak as a man. That's against God.
I mean, they don't have like man mouths, if that's what you're talking about. No. It's an animal mouth.
Yes.
But it's opening up. It is talking, yes.
It's disgusting. They're jawing at each other.
Do they, is there like a big like, and then he meets Rafiki and it's a big deal. Like, is Rafiki established?
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of them that are that way. Yes. Okay. Plenty. Yes. Many
Steve,
of them.
By the way, don't worry. John Oliver did come back to voice that bird.
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
He has to do his one movie role a year.
Yes.
Just one. And as a voice, usually.
$653 million globally. So. Nice.
Totally.
Yeah. Something we will be reviewing a little later in the program, but something new into the box office pool this weekend. Companion.
Yes.
From New Line Cinema. You know, decent. Okay. Opening here. $9.5 million. Not too shabby. We'll see what's going on here. It's a $10 million budget, so we'll see what's going on. But Big bummer for this movie. There's a whole lot of horror coming out
there
this month, including next week, Hard Eyes. A couple weeks after that, there's The Monkey is right around the corner.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of ground to make up before there's like some outright competition.
The Monkey, I think, will give it like Hard Eyes. I barely have heard of.
Yeah,
and, I've seen the poster and everything, but I haven't seen a trailer yet.
I'll probably give it a shot this weekend, the Hard Eyes bit. But
it might do well, you know, like, you know, kids love emojis, like the emoji movie. You know?
Oh, yes, which I was so honored to be a part of the emoji movie, you remember?
Yes.
I played Poop.
Well, the kids,
I was Captain Poop.
The kids that grew up on the emoji movie are now old enough to see Hard Eyes.
Yes, that's their first horror movie.
And I'm kind of curious, I mean, like, because I guess Companion is making its money as a horror movie. It's not really a horror movie when you get into it. It's more of a thriller. I guess
it's a Black Mirror episode.
A sci-fi thriller, yeah, I would call it.
It's
Megan, too.
So we'll see about what y'all thought about that. I did not get to the theater to see it. But coming in at number one, this is something that like I could probably get pretty baked and watch at home. It looks like this Dog Man movie.
Yeah, no way. I would never. You mix drugs with that, you're in for a bad time. That guy looks. That's a scary poster.
Yeah,
That's what I'm talking. Yeah. About. He looks. The animation style more than anything kind of grabbed my attention. I don't
part
know.
Dog, part man.
Yeah,
all hero. Now is this? He better have a man mouth if he's talking English.
Oh, I think he's talking up a blue streak.
Yeah, I do
but
believe,
he's got a dog mouth.
Yeah, it's a dog mouth, not a man. This search for a man mouth.
What do you want it to look like? Robert Smigel's old Conan bits, where it's just like a man mouth.
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I do.
Uh-huh. And it's the dog man is also just doing a bad Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. That's also what's happening. Congratulations on DreamWorks Animation, man. This is their third one in a row to debut at number one after Wild Robot and Eric's favorite movie of last year, Kung Fu Panda 4.
Oh, there you go.
Which is still in the top 10, right? It's still on the top 10?
Definitely. Yeah, it's somewhere in there.
Yeah, okay, good.
It's like I think it's like a 8.7 somewhere in there. but yeah, you know, big money for this. 41 million globally. Yeah, I don't know. Folks in the chat, was this a television show? I didn't look it up.
No, there was a book. One of those, like, was it kind a book? Of Diary okay, of a Wimpy yeah. Kid kind of style.
Oh, that like, sort of
books
stuff.
For,
yeah,
books
sure.
for boys kind of a deal.
Mm.
Which, gotcha. You know, gotcha. Sure.
What's the page count on that?
I'll let you know, man.
You're looking to get back into the reading spirit?
You are a boy, and you need to read. We do need to trick Eric into reading.
Yeah, that's no, weird. It's difficult for me to read.
Mm-hmm. You can read this new kid's book, Search for the Man Mouth. That's coming out.
Yeah, I don't know if
that's a kid's book.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Yeah, it's a little dog, and he's got a Robert Smigel man mouth, and he's taking a road trip for some reason, searching for his father.
You again? Get your sex book out of the children's section. Get out of here, you.
Yeah, that's all they'll do is just tell you to go away. They certainly wouldn't call anyone.
No, they won't.
I'm So Rachel in the chat confirms same author as Captain Underpants.
Yes, that was a movie.
That doesn't belong in a kid's section either.
That was a movie from a couple years ago, too, right?
That was, and it has a similar style. Yes. So I can see that.
I buy that. Yeah.
It's the Jeffrey Toobin biopic.
Yes, indeed. I don't think he had underpants on.
No, I think that was the whole problem. Yeah, I mean, it still would have been bad if it was just underpants, but I think they got the whole
Captain No underpants. That's Jeffrey Toobin.
The whole Megilla.
Captain Ballsack, they call him.
Right, yeah.
I bet they're fucked up looking.
Speaking of Jeffrey Toobin's old balls, last week we had a live show.
Oh, we did.
Like that transition.
Yes.
We had a live show go off Thursday night. We were talking Frozen Empire, the Ghostbusters sequel. It was a fun as hell time. And you can still catch that replay right now, everybody. That is still going on through February 13th. If you couldn't make it on Thursday night, if you couldn't get it over the weekend, it's still there for you right now.
It's a little of a spicier show than you might be normally used to. We had a lot of fun on that one.
Yes, we got very, very dirty. And unfortunately, because it's one of these live broadcasted things, we couldn't edit it afterwards.
Nope. It is what it is.
Embarrassing for us to even have this out there. So maybe you want to take a peek. Also, the t-shirt is available now, tpublic.com, with our merch stores over there. And all of our proceeds are going to the Center for Reproductive Rights.
There you go.
Oh my God. Hey, yeah. Hey, I'm sorry it's not a children's book that I was. Those are adult words.
Center for Underpants.
You can catch this replay right now. Get your tickets over at moment.co/wehatemovies. Eric is indeed right about the merch initiative. Every quarter this year, we are dumping whatever we have made that quarter from our merch store over to the Center for Reproductive Rights. By the way, another thing that you'll be able to get in that merch store, I don't think it's up yet, but it will be eventually, is the amazing new poster art that we're about to debut right now.
Ooh.
Our great and talented friend Felipe Sobrero has outdone himself, fellas, for the poster for our 3-night residency at the Oxford Comedy Festival. Folks at home, get ready for this shit. This is fucking great. Look at this.
Yes.
Felipe has outdone himself this time. We are involved in this show poster here, but all 6 shows and the 4 of us are represented in this poster art for the Oxford Comedy Festival that's happening this July, the 18th through the 20th, we say. But I'm really excited about all this. Those tickets are going, by the way. We're seeing people every day like, oh, shit, just picked up either like my tickets for one, my tickets for some, or my tickets for all. Either way is fucking cool, but I am loving seeing these people making like a long weekend out of it, man.
I'm kind of curious, like, you know, when we get there, what if a certain murders start happening again in Whitechapel, you know?
You're going to bring your black bag, huh?
Exactly.
Set up shop. Yeah. You know, there has been some questions about these shows. I want to clarify. People are like, oh, and then you're going to go do a show in Ireland afterwards or here or there. No, this is the only time we'll ever be in Europe. So it's there. Come and get it.
Yeah. This trip is just these 6 shows. Because frankly, 6 shows in 3 days is quite a bit. While the 4 of us and our families may be venturing out after the fact, this residency is the only time WHM will be playing this year in the UK. These 6 shows, we're doing 2 We Hate Movies episodes, 1 We Love Movies, an Animation Damnation, a Gleep Glossary, and my God Almighty, a Star Trek Nexus, where we're covering the episode, speaking of granny shagging, Bev is banging her grandmother's ghost boyfriend.
Love it.
Head over to our website, whmpodcast.com. Click on that tour page. All the information about the residency and also information to get you to that replay for the Ghostbusters show is right there, ready to rock and roll for you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yeah, moving on. This was something, I don't know. We're going to check out the trailer. Some of us think it looks kind of cool. Some of us maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. I almost said a horror movie, but is it going to be more of a thriller? I guess we'll find out. Maybe we'll get some clues in the trailer. This is trailer segment. So we're talking Drop, everybody. Or we're talking the trailer for Drop, I guess I should say. It's a new one from Chris Landon, of course. Now, here's the thing. Some of you guys have seen Chris Landon movies. I looked it up. I still have yet to see a single movie of this dude.
Really? Yeah. I liked.
Yeah, I keep biffing on it.
I liked both of the Happy Death Days.
Yes. So. He's also Freaky, correct?
Yes. Oh,
I like that, good. Too.
I like
Freaky. I've not seen either Happy Death Day, which I know people like.
They're good.
Yeah.
I like them both. They're very good.
He also did that Anthony Mackie, We've Got a Ghost horror family.
Oh, that
thing.
One is horrible. I did that not is see that. Absolutely ghastly.
It was a direct to Netflix thing. I think Jennifer Coolidge was involved.
Yes, ghastly or great. Ghostly, was it?
The A, not the O. Okay.
I'll be the grampy in the room. I don't know how to do airdropping. I don't know when you're supposed to do it, when you're not allowed to do it. Like, what even is airdropping?
Oh,
really?
This is what this is about?
Yes.
Oh, this is when this, I know how to do this. Okay. You go on an airplane, you airdrop your penis to everyone.
Okay.
Who's available.
This is why Eric was not on the show for 3 months.
Oh, right. I remember that. That was the controversy. Got it.
So, Steve, an example of like what I use airdrop for, just to give you a practical, non fucking pervert reason.
Sure.
Mm.
So, when I make promo cards for the show to post on social media, so like these grid things, like tomorrow's episode on identity,
ooh.
I use an app in my phone to make that, and then I send it to my laptop via airdrop, so then I can schedule it on various platforms and shit. So the non-pervert example.
You don't have to email that or nothing?
No emails. Can you believe it?
I gotta pull up to my computer, take out my teeth, and send that as an email.
If you're ever feeling too old, Steve, there is a 2-minute YouTube video that'll show you how to do it as well. Exactly 2 minutes long.
I've actually never airdropped before. No. That you can prove.
I've certainly not done it this way, which appears to be about this woman who starts getting nefarious airdrop messages or whatever.
Well, most people start doing it when they're 16, 17, 18. But it's okay to start later. You know, you can start when you're around your 40s. Well, that's okay, too.
Chris,
I don't want anybody to feel shame about this.
When I was 16, 18, their phones didn't exist.
It's true.
That's how old I am.
Well, cell phones didn't exist. Yeah, sure.
No, we were using the can with the strings.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'll just put it out there. Airdropping ain't no fucking brand new technology. So,
no, I'm sure it's not.
You've had plenty of time to familiarize yourself. Anyway, the folks at home have had plenty of time while we jaw about airdrop technology to get the trailer pulled up for themselves. If you've not done that yet, it's right below in the show description. Which, by the way, when you're there getting that link to this Drop trailer, click thumbs up, click subscribe, all that good shit. Get that alert notification, all that stuff. All right, fellas, we're about to watch the trailer for Drop. Hopefully it's dick pic free, but we'll see. All right, you dudes ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
It'll be great if that's what this movie is about. She keeps getting dick pics at this restaurant.
I'm
Yeah, you could see this being like a Tim Robinson sketch instead.
And now this is the other woman from last season's White Lotus.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She's the one who sleeps with the guy in the cave at the end.
Yeah.
Just a date. It's never just a date if you're in a Blumhouse movie.
Exactly. And this is the non-embattled actor from It Ends With Us.
I didn't know there were two dudes in that movie.
There is. He's the good one.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's nice. He's made it out unscathed.
Yes.
Oh. No way.
The meme stuff. That's pretty funny.
Oh, dude. I love that meme. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, so this is what we're doing. She's getting meme dropped.
Oh, my God. That is terrifying.
Oh, Platinum Dunes is involved. That I didn't know. Oh, are we never leaving this restaurant? Is that what's going on?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a whodunit. Who dropped it?
Who dropped it? Oh, see, now someone's at the house, though. Yeah. So hopefully we leave the restaurant.
I love a good home invasion. I've been always planning on doing one of those.
Okay. So this guy appears to still be the good guy of this movie, but I gotta say, if it turns out he's in on it, fuck that.
Probably.
Well, right, now just go home.
But if you leave, your son dies.
Yeah. Here's the rules.
Life hack. Stop caring about your kids.
That'd be funny. If you could have left the whole time. Absolutely. No, you could have just walked out and we wouldn't have done anything.
Whoa. Will you kill your date? Sure, I don't know that guy.
Look at that skyline. It looks like the last scene of Fight Club. I'll kill you if you hurt my she's got a little DSB, dude.
Yes, exactly. And what are you going to kill this guy, and then what are you going to tell the police? Oh, you know, a meme told me to do it.
I killed him for the sick meme points.
The horny emoji told me to do it.
Oh, no, don't do it, dude. Multiple silencers in this movie, by the way. I'm excited for that. Falling out the fucking window?
Use your location, baby. Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'll tell you what. Falling out that window.
That's pretty funny.
I'm seeing dropping.
One
theaters,
for drop. Yeah. Right, yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah, I think Piper in the chat has a good idea. I would do that, too. I would turn my phone off and just enjoy a wonderful dinner.
You know what?
Yep. Maybe and you know what?
For a little while.
And you know what? If you have a dead son after all of this, so what? I mean, it's not your fault, really. At the end of the day, somebody else did the killing.
It'd be great. Her phone's fucking off. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What are we doing here? We didn't think of a failsafe for if her phone was off on the date. Oh, the whole thing's ruined.
See, it's genius. I love that idea of just having a nice little dinner.
20-minute movie, man.
See, the thing is, it's this horror that people are afraid of leaving their kids at home. Mm-hmm. My parents went out to dinner all the time. Absolutely. Nothing, you know. You could go out to dinner. They're going to be fine.
You were not kidnapped, as far as you told me. There was no talk of any kidnapping, so I think you're fine, everybody.
Definitely didn't repress any memory.
No.
Okay.
Why would you?
Well, that makes me think differently, but all right.
I guess we'll see. But Wide on April 11th, the premieres at South By. We'll see. I don't know. I'm now excited to get real stupid at the movies.
Exactly.
So speaking of getting real stupid at the movies, we saw some stuff this weekend. We're going to review here. First up, I think all three of you guys, but minus me. So have at it, Companion.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I saw this yesterday and I believe like Andrew said, the other two guys did too.
Yeah, this was. I think Eric, you gave it 3.5. I gave it 3, and Chris gave it 2 on Letterboxd. So that's kind of letting you know where we all landed.
I thought it was
about where we usually land on things.
Tight little kind of thriller. I had fun with it. I don't think the premise is very original. I don't think there's not like. Now I'm trying to defend it, and I can't really sing its praises too much. But I had a fun time because I felt like it moved quick.
Yes,
it was short, and it kind of just. Knew what it was doing and did it.
I agree. I think it's a really, it's a tight little movie. I don't think it's trying for a home run. It's probably trying for a triple. It winds up in a double, most likely. You know what I mean? Which is totally fine by me. You know what I mean? It got on base. It's effective. I think it's funny. It does have some surprises aside from the first surprise, which is, I think they even spoil the trailers at this point. But
Oh, yeah, they do.
I'll try. Not to
spoil here. I think the title kind of spoils it as well. I don't think it's that surprising of a twist.
No, and I mean, like, it doesn't explore that world terribly far, but I do, I mean, like, again, I think the cast, I think Sophie Thatcher is great. Jack Quaid is a lot of fun. And a guy that I'm really enjoying pop up and stuff, Lucas Gage. He was at Smile 2. I guess he was on Euphoria, which I've never seen. But
oh, Lucas Gage was also, he was season one of White Lotus, I think.
Yes, exactly. Possibly, yeah, he's Hotel. Very, he's having a lot of fun in this. It's a really fun character for him.
Okay.
So there's that.
Okay.
I loved him in Smile 2. I really, really, really liked him in that. This, like, Black Mirror extended cut. It's like it just feels like it's like, here's a premise. We're going to do as much as we can with this premise. Goodbye. We didn't really think about having an emotional arc or anything like that. We're just going to it's this. Just take it and, you know, go away.
But it is so much. The thing is, I feel like part of my, like, how I like this movie is because I keep comparing it in my head to Megan, which I didn't think was very good.
Yep.
And that's a movie that kind of blows out that world and it really falls apart quicker. I feel like having this really just super contained, they're at a house in the woods, makes it a little sharper for me. I don't want to know all those answers because I know they can't sustain it.
Yeah, that makes sense. This is a real Dr. Pepper and Mr. Popcorn for me. You know what I mean? It was just a fun little time at the movies. I saw it 2 days ago. I haven't been really like thinking about it a ton since. But it was exactly what I wanted. I think it's, I mean, especially what's out now, definitely go see Companion.
Right. Let me ask you this, you guys. What did you guys think of Harvey Guillen in the movie? Because I fucking love Harvey Guillen.
He's good.
He's fun. Yeah, him. He's a lot of stuff with Lucas Gage. They have a lot of fun stuff to do together. Uh-huh.
Am I the only one of the four of us that's watched the What We Do in the Shadows TV show?
Oh, yes.
I've watched it for a
You've
while.
You've seen it, Chris? Yeah. Oh, okay. He's like, I mean, it's all amazing. It's one of the best TV comedies of the last really however fun. Long. But he's so fucking funny of it. And I actually like that Blue Beetle movie, which I did not hate. I wanted him to be in it more. He actually had like kind of an interesting character that they just like shit the bed with or whatever. So I was glad to see that he popped up in this at least.
I totally forgot that Blue Beetle was a thing.
Yes, it is indeed. Oh boy, is it. I will say, yeah, definitely this over most of it. But I will say, still so far this year, Den of Thieves 2 still the
top dog
horse.
Okay,
that's sure. That's the one I had the most fun with thus far of the trash. That is the best of the trash.
Yeah, I don't think this movie's trash. I think it's not directed terribly well. It doesn't have like a memorable set, because I mean, like, it's like from the guys that brought you Barbarian is well directed, where it has like where there's like the stakes feel real and like the and like you get drawn in and thrilled. Here it's more like it's a pretty funny way to spend 90 minutes. You know what I mean? I would say it's closer to a comedy than anything else, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
Our comedy, that sounds right.
Did you guys all see like that full length trailer before you saw this movie, or had you just seen the teaser?
I had seen the full length trailer. I kind of knew, unfortunately.
Just the teaser, but I honestly, within like 10 minutes of the movie, you already guessed.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, so they don't even.
And then, like, within 20 minutes, they basically tell you. But then the other part is like, there's other surprises after that, which just keeps you going a little bit.
So is Jack Quaid is the main dude, I guess? How's he?
Yes. He's, I like him in this.
Doing the same old Jack Quaid thing.
Yeah.
Well, it appears with like all the coming attractions that I'm seeing lately, man, we are going to have to really gear up for, is Jack Quaid a leading man for movies?
It's just
you got him. The other, that fucking Novocaine movies, that Novocaine's coming, man, whether you like it or not.
That's going to be a bigger test. This is less like,
this
is much more Sophie Thatcher's movie.
She's great.
She's really good. I'm not going to say anything, but it is to me really funny that they're like, Sophie Thatcher and Jack Quaid are essentially playing the exact same roles as the ones that made him famous.
Yeah.
Like in different tones. It's very funny to me. Like, if anybody knows anything about Yellow Jackets, something very, essentially the same thing is happening in this movie. As that, what happens in that movie?
Oh, Yellow Jackets got sex robots, dude.
A couple. you should see the second season. No, but it's It certainly is not like bad. It's certainly worth seeing. If you like this kind of stuff, you should see it 100%. And if you like Jack Wade and Sophie Thatcher, you should absolutely see it. They're both great.
Since you said it, Andrew, and I'll say it. I think I'm glad this movie is about sex robots. It's not, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, no, but it, you know what I mean? Like, there's other ways to do this where it's about love and blah, 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 blah. No, no, this is a place for you to deposit your fucking semen into it. Then, you know what I mean? Like, they say
very
love.
Blunt about that.
Exactly. It is.
Right.
They know the score, which I appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, Megan, I guess I'm on the other side of that. I think Megan's better because it does play with that, the mother theme and like the stuff with Allison Williams and the worlds and the place where you would build and like sell this stuff. Like, to me, that is more interesting, ultimately. And even if you can't answer every question, like,
Megan is so dreary. I never want to see Allison Williams moping around that house again in my life.
Sure, that's a fair point.
I've never seen Megan. I guess maybe I'll give it a shot before Megan 2.0. Maybe I'll give 1.0.
It's coming, baby.
Yeah, I remember thinking Megan was fine. I never watched it more than once.
Yeah,
I was not there for the memification of her little dance number, off queen. Like but like it's whatever. But so here's what's interesting, right? Look at the trend here. We got Megan, we got this, we got what the shit was that Megan Fox? That's another Megan Fox sex robot movie.
Yes.
I mean, as we get more and more AI, and that's all everyone fucking talks about,
seriously,
you're going to see more of it in movies.
I mean, this is better than Afraid, that's for sure. Can you at least, Chris, can you join me on that?
I haven't seen it, but I have to assume so.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Yeah, all right.
Because, like, that's what happened is we moved from, like, essentially it was all, like, D-grade horror versions of her for a while. Right. And now we're actually getting, like, actual robots in these things. It's not just, like, a computer screen you're talking to, because that was the thing for a while. It's just you get somebody to do the voice and that's it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I at least like having something to look at. That's nice.
Yeah, but so I think it's definitely worth checking out if you're looking again, especially with the slate that's going on right now. I think it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, it's better than Flight Risk.
It is for sure.
Well, from what you guys said, it would almost have to be. am I alone on this one? Flip it over to comedy here. The new one from Nicholas Stoller, You're Cordially Invited.
Never heard of it, never seen it, never.
I did not accept that invitation.
I was invited many times while using the Amazon Prime app this weekend, but I did not accept the invitation.
I predominantly rent stuff from the show on Apple, so I don't get I don't use Prime that much. Like when we do Once in a Lifetime, that's generally I rent because they're always there or they're at least on Prime or whatever. So I haven't seen these, but yes, that's why you don't know about it. It's an Amazon Prime direct to streaming Nicholas Stoller movie. I mean, this dude has made some big comedies. Like he's
Nicholas
the Forgetting
Stoller.
Sarah Marshall guy.
Okay.
This is his first feature film since Bros, the Billy. What's his face movie there?
Eichner.
He's the guy who directed those Neighbors movies. I mean, so he's directed like some big successful comedies. And this is just a thing where it's like, you could have put this in. It's Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon for crying out loud in like a raunchier than I expected wedding comedy. So the conceit of this movie is Reese Witherspoon is planning her younger sister's wedding. And Will Ferrell has booked his daughter's wedding and they've double booked this tiny island bed and breakfast type place. So it's like, how do we do two weddings at the same tiny place kind of movie?
My wife had a funny joke about that just because, like, of course it's Reese Witherspoon's younger sister because she could be old enough to have a daughter that'd be getting married. Like, yes.
Right.
She could be a grandmother.
Yeah. Exactly.
Great grandmother already.
I will say at least the fact that it's not just two parents does make it a little more interesting because it's not just my daughter this, my daughter that.
That's fair.
It's like, Reese Witherspoon's got problems with the mother who is, the woman is played by the woman who, Chris, you always said, she looks like John Lithgow dressed up like a lady. fuck is her. I feel terrible because that's always Celia Weston. That's the woman's name. She's been around for 1,000 years. She plays like a real southern kind of traditional old pain in the ass matriarch, like kind of thing. So like she's doing a character which is just pretty sweet. You got Jack McBrayer as the guy who's like running this hotel space, so you know there's laughs there too. The odd thing about this movie though is, and I whenever I complain about this, I know it sounds like the pot calling the kettle black, the profanity in this script is unnatural.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it, like especially from actors like Reese Witherspoon and Will Ferrell, they're just saying fuck or versions of fuck constantly throughout the movie, and you're like, what is this doing for the movie? Like, and it's not just them though, like literally every character minus maybe Celia Weston is turning the profanity up to 11.
That's weird. I mean, because usually what that is doing is like, I'm used to Will Ferrell saying curse words. I'm used to it, but it's usually because like his characters that you, the ones at least that I remember the most, like from Step Brothers, the other guys, is that like it's very immediately they go to juvenile behavior. Like whenever anything is tested with them. But this is a character, from what I can tell from seeing the trailer and stuff, he's supposed to be like a loving dad who like is just maybe a little over loving, but like is just a good single father for the most part.
No, that's exactly what it is, and that's why it's weird. Like, he plays a widower who lost his wife when their daughter was like 10. The daughter, grown up, is played by Geraldine Viswathanon from Driveway Dolls. Yeah, so I mean, like that's
the, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Uh-huh. And that goes with cussing too. No cussing.
Sure.
But for what, I mean, for what it's worth, like I am saying good things about this. I think it's a funny movie. Like there's a ton about it that is incredibly hilarious. It's just, it's weird the amount of profanity. And then also like, it is just kind of long. And the problem is the script, you know, especially because you have like Reese Witherspoon and Will Ferrell in these roles, they're kind of both the main character in a way. Yeah. So like, he has his end of act two blow up problem. She has to have her end of act two blow up problem. Like some of this movie, it's just too separate of a track. And you're like, well, what's going on with the rest of the movie? So there's a little too much like going on. Cause it's like, this should be 90 and it's like 105. And you definitely feel that 15 minutes. Also, like, we are extending this movie well into the credits with like dance numbers and all sorts of shit that like doesn't fit the rest of like the swear jar heavy version of
because it's kind of like Mamma Mia, like
because you're singing Islands in the Stream, like that's what you're that song plays a real joke in the movie. So then at the end of it, they just sing this, everybody, it's one of those like everybody in the cast is singing it.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
We're at different setups throughout the shoot. Like, oh, hey, right here, can you just sing this song really quickly for 2 seconds? Don't worry about it. I know you're not in the actual scene that happens in the movie, but for the fun credit sequence, we need you to sing this song.
You know what, Cancer Mom? You come up here, you belt out the end. Come on now, you get in here and you give us a high note.
They do actually do a bad job of like showing any kind of South Asian relative from that side of the family being invited to this wedding. Like, there's literally like one little old Indian lady that walks her down the aisle for the wedding sequence, and like the woman doesn't have a line in the film and is never seen outside of that moment. So like,
kind of a bummer.
That shit's kind of weird. I have to hear more from like her obnoxious gaggle of friends, one of which was a pretty funny actress from couple guest spots on Abbott Elementary that we had seen, but you're just like, where is the rest of this? Like, there's no grandparents anywhere. It's just kind of, but again, you have so many fucking characters in your movie that I feel like, you know, something had to get cut somewhere.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
But, you know, I think it's a thing, you know, again, Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon put something into the ecosystem. This would have been a big box comedy from the director of Sarah, Forgetting Sarah. Like, You could have done all that stuff. I don't know why you chose not to. I really don't.
I always want to see like what that equation is, like X plus one times whatever equals release in theaters or equals straight to streaming. And I just never can make, or tax write-off, which would be the third option. Never release it at all.
I mean, I assume at this point the presumption is let's try as hard as we can to release it to streaming.
Yeah.
And you have to fight against that and giving it reasons to be released in theaters. And like the thing with Will Ferrell is that like I don't think he's had a movie. House, the one with Amy Poehler was last time I remember wanting to see one in the theater.
His comedy started to bomb heavily, Sherlock Holmes or whatever that was.
Holmes and Watson, I think it was called.
And Reese Witherspoon is well regarded, but not exactly a box office draw.
TV. She's TV now. Yeah. The Morning Show. That's what I know her from. Yeah.
Morning Show.
She was in that awful movie, which was Your Place or Mine. That was a tough one. I don't know if anyone.
It was
last year.
Yes.
And it just missed our worst of. It's her and I want to say Ashton Kutcher. Am I correct?
Yes.
It's her and Ashton Kutcher, like two people that never got together and then like they swap apartments. It's like kind of like The Holiday, but much worse than that. And it's
deep.
And then they wind up getting together. So, long story short.
Oh, that's weird.
Long story short, it's been a while for Reese as well. So I can kind of understand.
The
marketing thought of it, but I agree. Like these are the two of them together should be something to release in theaters, I think.
And you know, funny enough, speaking of Reese Witherspoon being teamed with comedy guys that have actually explicitly worked together in movies before, she clearly has chemistry with Will Ferrell, something she did not with Vince Vaughn in that Four Christmases abysmal movie that I watched over the holiday season. Like, she's having fun here, and she's actually funny. And, you know, some of this, like, she's playing drunk in, and I just kept thinking about that DUI video.
Oh, yeah, you gotta love that. I'm obstructing your justice?
Yeah, there's a little bit of I'm obstructing your justice, like, tone of voice in this movie, and I was kind of laughing about that. But yeah, I don't know. It's a Nick Stoller movie that's very funny. They just say fuck too much in it, but I would. There's worse ways to spend an hour and 45 minutes.
Totally.
I'll say that.
I'll say it. Companion, hour 37. Got it beat. There you go.
Yep. Hell yeah, dude. Like, you're in and out of the theater in fucking 2 hours with pre-show? Absolutely. Like, let's fucking do it. So yeah, you know, this will probably be down the waste bin of streaming history soon enough, but something that may just beat it to the bottom, Eric's going to talk to us all about on this secret movie.
There it is.
Alarum.
Ooh, yes. Now look at the spelling. Look at the poster. Alarum. I went into this movie thinking it was going to be a bank heist movie or something.
Yeah.
And that's just Stallone trying to say alarm. Like, with all these alarums going off, I can't think straight.
But what is an alarum if it's not that?
Alarum is a sort of a... Okay, so it takes place in the world of the spies, right?
Of course. Oh,
spies, okay. Government agents. And like the specter or the syndicate of this world is Alarum. Okay. And now Scott Eastwood.
Okay.
Terrible. I mean, everyone in this is terrible. And everyone, it's got a surprisingly big cast too for being a straight to streaming nothing movie no one's heard about. Mike Coulter's in it as well.
Fitzgerald. I wish that guy had Willa Fitzgerald too. I wish Mike Coulter had a better career. I think that guy's pretty fun.
He's terrible in the movie. Everyone is terrible. So it's not their fault. It's Michael Polish's fault or whatever. But yes, this is directed by a guy who did some indie movies and then eventually did the Gina Carano Western conservative media.
Yes, baby.
And he's back and he's doing Alarum. And not much happens in this movie. Stallone was in it more than I thought.
Okay. That's something.
He's on a telephone in a hotel room for a while.
I was going to say, is he filmed in more than one location, dude?
Three, which is huge for him. This is great. Okay, so it's two hotel rooms, one where he's on the phone, the other one where he's interacting with Scott Eastwood, who, by the way, is now full on just trying to do an impression of his father, which is terrible.
That's just not for him. Yeah. And so he's turning more like that guy who pretends to be Charles Bronson these days. That guy.
He should just do that. He should lean into it, do shit action movies, pretending to be his father.
Oh my God, he should
be more watchable.
An Unforgiven prequel with Scott Eastwood. It would be so bad.
Yes. Yeah. We'll call it Forgiven.
No. Honestly, I know it's not a sequel or anything, but make it Unforgiven with a four in it.
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
Well, you could do, like, Little Dirty Harry, dude. Like, that's right fucking there. Like, him and
another prequel.
Let's say the 60s, beating up hippies and shit.
Another prequel, $1,000 Baby, you know, go a little earlier.
Sure.
Before that baby got up to $1 million.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this one girl I'm coaching, she wasn't paralyzed or nothing. She just can't box no more. $1,000 Baby.
I love it. And you can have 50 Cent playing a guy called 50 Cent. He's a terrible fighter. He's also training. But this movie, Alarum.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Climax features Scott Eastwood squaring off against a drone, which is like looking in the mirror.
You can tell who is who for a while.
Like, yeah,
in the air. Well, I'm a little confused.
In the air, the guy like guns.
Okay,
it's like a movie. This is one of those movies where guys wave around guns all
Got
the time.
Got it. Oh, okay, sure.
It's terrible. It's bottom of the barrel. It's maybe even worse than the last Secret Stallone movie I covered. I don't know. Maybe it's better because Stallone is in three locations and he actually goes outside at the end. Okay. He's probably got like 10, 15 minutes of screen time, I'm imagining.
Here's the question then. Has he gone full into like Seagal mode where he won't even get up? Like he's sitting during, like Seagal, if you watch any of the later Seagal movies, whenever he's entering a room, he's like beelining it to a chair. Whatever happened in this space, he needs to be in the chair before anything starts, even if it's a gunfight.
To answer this question, the first extended scene he is in, he is fully seated. The second one, he's standing in a room with Scott Eastwood, but it looks like he's eyeing that chair. He wants to get back there, thinking about it. And then in the ending, he goes outside, and wouldn't you know it, he sits down on the floor.
There you go. He's not there yet. He at least can stand for a little. I bet you he's leaning in that second one, though.
Yeah, for sure.
He's there. So, but like, yeah, once he goes full Seagal, then we're in trouble. Then I don't think we're going to have to watch these anymore.
He's got to stop. He just has to stop making these movies.
The funny thing, though, is like with Seagal, I firmly believe it's like a, you've been standing for too long now. His legs are going to give out. Like,
yeah,
I've seen all of Tulsa King. I know that Sly can still walk around and kick and fight a little bit and stuff. Okay. So like, this is just from a place of like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I'm sitting the fuck down, man. I only stand up if that pay goes up.
Yeah, exactly.
A money issue,
you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's like a place of out of shapeness or frailty, like Seagal clearly maybe, but just more of a place of like, fuck you, pay me, or these buns, sit down.
Like, I think probably what we're going to see next is him like leaning towards like the faith-based community, like Angel Mouth Studios.
Oh, I would love that.
Sure.
And stuff like that. I think that's probably where he's needed at this point.
Well, no, actually what we're going to see next, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why we're not talking about this. He's the next Godfather, for Christ's sake.
Oh, well, yes, of course. Yes. He's
huge news.
Yeah, explain this for the folks at home, Chris.
There is an Instagram. He was just having fun, folks.
It was just for fun.
There's an Instagram post of him. He must have put me in Godfather.
Incorrect. No, he took it somewhere from someone else, because this was on Facebook a couple days before that. A friend of mine, a guy I went to high school with, posted, "Yo, is this real?"
Well, like, no way. You were able to meet Steven Sadek meme tracker. Now that needs to be a show.
Oh, it's just sad. Like, falling for it is pretty sad.
It's basically a fake poster mock-up of The Godfather, part The Family Legacy, it's called. Part The Family Legacy.
There's no number. There should be part four, The Family.
And it's Stallone looking fatter and healthier than he actually is. and AI'd a bit or something.
Oh, it's his all eyes. It's the eye. He has, like, when the speaking of companion, when she shut off the eyes.
Yeah.
Essentially, what it looks like.
He kind of looks like Saber.
He does have the whited over possession eyes on that meme that I did see. And
then he posted the caption that he posted with this image is not real, just for fun.
See, that to me suggested that he did it. So that's funny. That's, well, he's just lying on this.
Yeah. Right. I'm picturing him like sitting on his couch, like, all right, ChatGPT, let's destroy the rainforest with some fun ideas.
Yes. And then I commented on the Instagram here. I was expecting some interaction, even with a fan, but no. I said, this is disrespectful. Please delete.
No, guy, come over here. What movie do you wish you were in that you were? This ChatGPT thing will put you in. Turner and Hooch? I think Guy Fieri, Turner and Hooch. Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, wow. It looks like he's, because I'm now looking at his Instagram hanging out.
Ew.
It looks like he's going to be in that Jason Statham, A Working Man movie. Well, that's exciting.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Secret how about villain? That?
I guess they actually like each other. That's something. That's pretty surprising.
Yeah,
that's 2 weeks ago, he was posting more Godfather AI things.
Oh, come on!
Godfather Part 4 trailer. It's him with a white jacket on smoking a cigar.
Jesus.
Just, like, I don't, just wait. These guys. Is this real? Like, no, of course not, you idiot.
No, bro. It was just for fun. It was just for fun, bro.
I mean, I will say Facebook, which is the only reason I'm still on Facebook, is to watch the AI slop that people post at this point. It is fucking the Wild West out there in terms of, like, fake movies and everything else.
You've been following the Sam Elliott fake pushing conservative t-shirts when he's not conservative.
It's a picture of Sam Elliott, and my aunt has posted it 4 different times, 4 different memes, and he's holding a pink picture. He's holding fake hands of holding a fake t-shirt, and like Sam Elliott's head's over here. These are fake hands, the fake t-shirt. It's just like, Trump says, I love everybody, or whatever nonsense it is. And it's like, well, that's, and then it would be a big, long descript about who Sam Elliott is and what he's done in his career. And it's just AI slop. And the planet is over with. It's a charred earth for these boomers to get a, just for fun. It's just for fun.
Yeah. You're going to be dead in a fucking maximum of 20 years.
Yes.
What the fuck do you care if the rainforest is killed so you can have some fun with your fucking pathetic fake casting shit?
We will live on in the husk, and we will we will enjoy our time. We probably won't, but, like, hey, maybe we will. And we will have all these. Is he just like,
you broke up there a little bit there, pal.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you there, Chris. You sounded like the companion rebooting.
now it looks like he's just frozen. So I don't know.
Oh, he's muted now.
Oh, there he goes.
Now you're muted.
It's a good thing it's the end of the show.
Anyway. Yeah, I think we could just probably.
Sure. Yeah, we are getting to the top of the hour here, so I think we'll just cut it. I don't know what's good. Chris, you're still muted is what the deal is there. But anyway, speaking of living through the husk, our journey through the husk continues this week, folks. Tomorrow. And We Hate Movies, Wait What You Wary gets underway. Yeah. It's a whole month of us talking about movies with some twisty turnies. And this is one of the twistiest, turniest ones of all. James Mangold's Identity.
James Mangold's Identity. My goodness. Wow.
This was a fun one to revisit, though. It's been forever since I've seen it. I thought it was a pretty fun convo.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's actually kind of ironic. I think we're singing the praises of Jimmy Mangold quite a bit on that episode, and then he got nominated like right after it happened. You know what I mean? So we're not talking about the Oscar nomination in it, but it was.
No, good call. Because then it'd be like, I can't believe they didn't talk about the Oscar nomination. Yes,
Oh, that's kind of boring.
Maybe the Oscar nomination talk was only on the ad-free episode.
that's
right. If you want to listen to this without any commercials, over on the Patreon, patreon.com/wehatemovies. That's where you can get that ad free. Also, Thursday on the Patreon, only for the people at the $5 level and up. We love movies this month. Wait, what? Donnie Darko, wait, what?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Hell yeah. This was, we go long on Donnie Darko, baby.
Deep dive into his bedroom with a jet engine.
Yeah, right through the floor and out the other side. But that was a lot of fun. That was another, like, revisiting not so much like revisiting, because I'd seen it sort of recently, but like revisiting and actually talking about with people.
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun. And then Friday, hey y'all, strap in for Friday. This month's Once in a Lifetime drops, and it's all about Tall Hot Blonde.
Oh my God, you have to watch this movie.
Directed by Courtney Cox, you have to watch it. Garrett Dillahunt plays a creep who shouldn't be using the internet the way he does, but dudes like this use the internet the way he did.
Sure.
And boy, we're better for it over here. It was a laugh riot. Yes, it's based on a real life tragedy, but it was a laugh riot watching this movie.
Yes, and it is a true wait what, because it's got some twists and turns, this Tall Hot Blonde.
Sure does.
From 2012, we should say. There's a 2009 documentary. The Courtney Cox directed feature film instead.
But yeah, all that over on the Patreon, patreon.com/wehatemovies. That's going to do it for this week, y'all. Thanks so much for tuning in. Go watch good stuff this week. And we should say, actually, which OSL are we going to do this on? Is it
2 weeks
next
from now.
Monday?
No, it's
2 Mondays from now. We're announcing it right here. So you can get ready for this, folks. So not on the next OSL, but the one after it, we're going to be doing the live listener request month drawing. Mm-hmm. So holy smokes. Those lines are now closed, by the way, but big thanks to everybody who wrote emails, the calls. Steve, what was the number there, dude? Cause you were really,
it was a lot. It was like probably something like close to 1,000 each way. You know what I mean? 1,000 calls, 1,000, emails. So that was wild stuff.
That's crazy.
So that's coming up in a couple weeks. You'll find out what we're going to be watching all through March. But until then, enjoy the shows for this week. And until next OSL, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Have a good week, y'all. Bye-bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.